listening to a download from the outdoorstation.co.uk.
Number 282.
Good morning, it's October the 24th, and today is 350 day, more of that later, and also day one of the OMM, the Original Mountain Marathon 2009. Now, you may have heard of this marathon. It sort of got the headlines last year when the news media got the wrong end of the stick, but the event had to be cancelled due to atrocious weather conditions, although we battled on and heroically completed our first day. I just wanted to mention that. Now, today, the weather forecast isn't quite as bad as it was last year, but it's certainly not as promising. It is still raining, and there's high winds forecast as well this afternoon, but with the possibility of it being a more pleasant day tomorrow. But certainly tonight will be high winds and rain, we understand. Now, the Mountain Marathon, if people haven't heard of this before, do have a look at the website, which is theomm.co.uk. It basically consists of seven different categories. There is an orienteering category, the short score, medium score and long score. We're doing the short score, and that basically is 5 hours first day, 4 hours second, and then it goes up an hour for each score. And you're given the map on the start line, and you have to choose which points that you want to pick up in order to get to the finish area in time. And obviously, for every minute you're late, you're penalised points. That's how that works. The class events and the elite, they have to do a linear marathon or linear distances up to a marathon, and they have to pick up the key points in a correct order, and if they miss a point out, then they're disqualified. So that's how it works. It's a great challenge. It's done in teams of two. You have to carry all your own kit for 2 days, and this year, following last year's news media, they are checking everybody's bags to make sure we've all got the right equipment, which is a sensible thing to do. And it's been quite interesting watching people walk past the car to see what they're carrying and the size of their packs. But everybody seems to be managing with anywhere between a 25 litre and a 30 litre pack, which is quite interesting. But as usual, we're all a hardy bunch. We're all looking forward to it. And it's going to be an enjoyable challenge. The challenge being, obviously, the navigation. And particularly today, it's going to be tough, because although the rain isn't particularly heavy and the wind not particularly troublesome at the moment, there is a very, very low cloud. And certainly just looking up from where we're sitting at the moment, all the low hills are covered in thick cloud, which makes navigation an absolute nightmare. But that's the challenge. And so we're looking forward to that. Now, Rose is going to tell you a bit more about 350 Day.
Right, well, 350 days was started. It was an idea started about 18 months ago. It's a pressure group, which is sort of worldwide. If you look at 350.org, it'll give you all the information there. But basically, people wanted to do was have protests from around the world on October the 24th, today, obviously. And there's something like nearly 5,000 actions going on today, and in about 200 countries across the world, to highlight to politicians that the people of the world actually want us to stop polluting our world and make it survive. Scientists have shown that 350 parts per million carbon dioxide is only what will be sustainable for the planet to be sustainable. And we're currently at 390, so obviously we've got to make an impact for the politicians to do something when they meet in December in Copenhagen for the next treaty. So hopefully we're going to go around today with 350 on our rucksacks and have a talking point and take a photo at some point during the day and upload that to the website.
Yeah, we're just basically it's raising awareness and trying to put as much pressure on politicians for their meeting in Copenhagen as possible. And as Rose says, 350 is being deemed as the parts per million carbon dioxide in the atmosphere will sustain life and sustain the planet. At 390, we're actually obviously killing the planet, which is fairly important to all of us. So just wanted to make a bit of a note of that. Do have a look at the website and join in if you can in some way. But today is particularly a day of action as regards doing something which demonstrates how strongly we feel about it. In our case, we're running up and down mountains with a 350 stuck to our back. So hopefully that picture will make it in some format or other up to the website. It's a small contribution, but perhaps the podcast can be a slightly larger contribution. Anyway, we're about to head down to registration now and perhaps see some old faces and see what the melees are like. We are picking up our bus in a short while. We're being bused to a secret location, which is the start line, which is quite interesting, rather than starting straight from the central area here, which is probably a good thing as well. So it focuses your mind, make sure you've got all the gear in your rucksacks, and get ready to go. So hopefully we'll pick up a bit later on when we're chatting some people.
It's all about the great outdoors.
We've had a interesting start to the event. We caught the coach from the showground. We've been dropped off on the edge of the road in the middle of nowhere. I suspect it's close to the Elan village. And we've just had to climb probably 40 or 50 metres up a side of a hill, really, to get to the start line. And there you go. There's the air horn. So we know we're almost there. And we'll be getting ready to start the next event. I think that was 10:20 they were calling. Ours is at 10:43.
Liz Creaser.
And Michael Porter.
Okay, you were here last year. Let's have a quick recap. How was it for you last year?
It was an amazing experience, but right on the edge, but fantastic.
I understand you did the best score that you'd ever done.
We doubled the points that we did on the first day of the previous year, so yeah, we were really pleased.
So is that only the second time you've done it then?
It would have been my sixth time, but it was only the second time for Michael.
Yeah. And I understand that you're a bit concerned at times, the same as we were, as regards your partner getting cold very quickly during the day.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, she was getting close to hypothermia at one point. But a quick donut seemed to sort that one out.
Yeah. So. So what do you reckon to today's start then? Being a bit different, somewhere being dropped in the middle of nowhere?
It's going to be interesting. We were just saying he's got a cracked rib, so if we need to retire, it's going to be difficult to get back to home base today. So there we are.
Well, they did say bring an extra £20 each, didn't they?
Yeah. Well, we've definitely got that, I think, somewhere. Yeah, I think we might have a tenner.
So how are you feeling with your rib then? Is it just sort of a slight discomfort or when you climb or what?
Not too bad. I've strapped myself up and I've got a couple of packets of tabs, tablets and that. So we'll just keep an eye on it and hope you'll be all right.
So you wouldn't miss the event even though you've got something like that?
No, definitely not. Not if I can help it.
What do you think of the coverage that it had last year, and when you got back and switched the phone on and no doubt people were contacting you? What did you think of the response?
I think that it was disproportionate, and that we all have the kit we need to look after ourselves, and that's the bottom line really. And if you can't, then even if it's a lovely day, you shouldn't be doing it. So I think we were all prepared really, and it's shown by the fact that everybody was accounted for in the end and nobody really had any serious difficulties.
No, that's true. So what do you reckon to the weather conditions today then, looking to today's as a exercise?
It's going to be interesting because the navigation is going to be, I think, tougher than it was last year because of the cloud.
That's going to be a challenge.
Yeah, I mean, the cloud is really low. We're almost in it now, aren't we?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the rain's not going to be a problem. I mean, the wetness is going to be a warm night as well. And we're not going to suffer from cool. It's going to literally just be this this heavy mistiness here.
Yeah. Well, I last weather report I heard was wet this morning, very windy this afternoon, this evening, and not so bad tomorrow.
Yeah,
and it should go well, I think.
I'm hoping the wind might actually blow away the mist. We're going to look forward to that.
And which route are you doing?
We're doing the short score.
Short score on you. I think you're, in that case, 2 minutes behind us as regards start, so we'll see you at some stage, I'm sure.
Possibly will do, We crap your pools out.
Yes, Well, I hope I don't have to drag you off the hills. That's the main thing. Anyway, good luck with your race.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Best of luck to you too.
So we move forward into the first section of the grid. Got the right numbers. Morning, thanks very much.
Have fun.
And now we're moving up to collect our maps. And once we've got the maps and the hooter sounds again, we're actually off and the stopwatch starts. Morning, thanks very much.
There you go, right. The start is there.
Starters up there, right.
Finishes there.
Okay.
Finish for tomorrow's there.
Okay.
Purple's out of bounds. Bus points, place you can escape to if you retire and get bossed out.
Okay.
None of the controls are compulsory. Arrows in indicate radio controls. The start is 500 metres up there, but your time starts as soon as you step over the line.
Okay.
And that's pretty much it, really.
Lovely. Okay, thank you very much. And we're off. Right then, shall we find ourselves a comfy little corner and a cup of coffee and a cappuccino and a bun and sit and look at these maps? So what do you feel like doing today, Rose?
Not sure. Gosh, it's...
Well, we're starting...
Over here.
Here, at that particular point there in the corner there, look.
Yeah.
So we've got to climb to get to that ridge. I mean, obviously that 15 there is the first one to pick up naturally. You could possibly take it around, go to that radio point at 40.
This is going to be a good climb, though, looking at those contour lines. Go round. You could go round to it, but you've still
got a
climb.
Go over the ridge. The ridge and then drop down to it. At least because it'd be easier to follow the ridge in this, if it's all misty.
Yeah.
Be easier to follow that ridge and go that way. Now let's look at the other way. If you went out here and went south, there's that 20 there, which is a drop and a climb. So you could get that 15, that 20, that 35. Got water going down my neck. Where's the finish point down there? Ideally, want to pick up those two to the finish point, don't you? Is that on the other side of a river?
So you've got to cross this river or the reservoir at some point. So
there's a bridge there, although that area is no go land. There's a bridge to cross the stream to come round it and climb it. I reckon go to that 15, 40, 25, and either that way back there or round that way. I mean, it depends how fit we feel.
Yeah.
I mean, let's start running and just to see where we're going, yeah?
Okay. So you think that's better going that way round rather than cut through there?
Well, I think that's too short.
Yeah.
But let's make a decision once we get across the start area and we pick up exactly where we are. Right, let's get going then. Right, our first checkpoint for the A15, and there's a couple of marshals here. Hello.
I'm Rachel, and this is Caroline.
Okay, and what brings you to actually volunteer to do something like this, Rachel and Caroline?
My partner's racing in it, in the event, so we came along.
That was accompanied with the roll of eyes. What about yourself?
I've just come along to keep company, really, and to provide entertainment.
Oh, okay.
We've got a bar of chocolates. We've seen a lot of very shapely legs going past.
Yes, but that's as close as you've got, is it?
Yeah, but it's worth it for that 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. We did marshal
last year.
Oh, well, congratulations, that was a fun time, I bet.
And survived.
Excellent. Well, thanks, ladies, and thanks for your volunteering, and catch you later.
Good luck.
Cheers,
enjoy
bye.
Enjoy it.
That may sound pretty bad. It's nothing compared to last year. We've got 30, 40 mile an hour winds predicted. And the rain's pretty horizontal, but it's not that ice cold bitter stuff last time that cut you in two. I can actually see some sunshine through the clouds as well, and the cloud thankfully is lifted. And we're just over an hour into it now, and already we've virtually lost sight of everybody. I can looking behind me, I can see about a dozen people a mile away, but it just goes to show you how quickly you can lose 3,000 people in the hills. Anyway. We got the first checkpoint, no problem at all. Had a chat with a couple of the marshals there, chucked away in a nice warm tent. And we now decided that one of the points is a distraction. We're not going for that one, but we're actually taking a shortcut down to the road, up the road a bit, and then doing another big climb for some big 50 pointers, which we should get well within time. It really depends on the conditions underfoot. The top of the next ridge. So hopefully you can hear all this. very exciting. It's all part of growing up being British. And weather-wise, it's a typical summer's day, autumn day in Wales, really. Where's Rosie? How you doing, Rosie?
Okay, okay.
Say again.
Not too bad. Oh, I'm not swearing like last year.
Nah. It's a walk in the park, this, compared to last year, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Hey, you can see a road.
Yes, there's the road. Bit of sunshine in the sky, clouds lifted, rain's not too bad, the wind's in our face, frustratingly, but we just drop down to the road now, up the next ridge, and hopefully we'll get some big points.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, we're 3 hours into it now, and we've just had a very, very tough half hour or so wading through what's commonly known, or fondly known, as disco grass. This is grass which is, well, almost waist deep, and it's boggy underneath, and you put your foot down on it and you just have no idea which way you're going. And I've just had a fall, which I landed on my head, which wasn't particularly comfortable, but thankfully it was against a soft landing. But that was a hell of a lot of hard work for 15 points.
We're not really doing very well on the old point front,
are
we?
Oh, stop being negative. We're doing our best. Anyway, we're going to head for a biggie now, 50, and then we have to make a decision about time to get back and not lose any more points and so on. But that's shaken me a bit, to say the least. And we just stop for a quick hydration and top up a chocolate and get the spirits back again. Anyway, more a bit later. Whoa. Right, Phil, first of all, guys, thank you very much for volunteering to man the radio post. How's it been so far today?
Misty this morning, very wet, very muddy, and once we got our tents up, nice and cosy and warm. Great. Yeah.
Have you had anybody want to use the services, radio in, for any reason?
Just one radio in, about a missing competitor at CU Control. Other than that, it's been very quiet.
Yeah? So no injuries on the net, nothing at all?
Not what we know of.
Excellent, that's good news. So do you guys volunteer to do this, or is it sort of part of the package type of thing?
No, it's always voluntary. The whole event's supported by a lot of volunteers. You know, we couldn't put the event on without those people. And there's different people doing different things around the event. You know, there's people down in the registration centre, and there's volunteers on the hill in the tents with the radios, and people at checkpoints. So, yeah, there's quite a lot of people supporting this.
Yeah. Well, we certainly appreciate it, guys. Thank you very much. Although it's obviously a bit off-putting to come and find people tucked nice and warm in a tent when you're halfway through and shattered.
Do you want your hot coffee now?
Two biscuits, no sugar in mine, thanks. Anyway, thanks very much, guys. I hope it's a good day for the rest of you and rest of the day for you. And presumably you're on tomorrow as well somewhere?
We are, yes.
That's right,
yes.
Yeah.
One of the controls on the south side of the reservoirs tomorrow.
South side tomorrow, is it? Okay.
7:15 at the control.
So what time do you actually finish on the day?
Today will be 4 o'clock here, and we've got to get ourselves off. And then tomorrow morning we'll probably start about 6, something like that, or earlier.
Well, thank you very much once again.
Just one point, a lot of the volunteers on the hill probably got up this morning at 5 o'clock. To get out here on time.
Well, I think everybody appreciates it. I don't see anybody knocking a volunteer, I can assure you. In fact, in many cases, I think we'd rather swap places with a volunteer. Anyway, thanks, guys. Yeah. Take care.
OK, then.
Well, you've got one very tired, demoralised podcaster here. We just tried to pick up a few extra points before hitting a really good semi-metal road to get us back to base. And how long have we got now, Rose?
25 minutes.
We've got 25 minutes, and it's at least 5 miles. So, as soon as we got our breath back and steam, just round this corner, we're going to start a steady jog. But of course, you lose points. I can't remember what it is actually.
It's quite a lot, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's 5 or 10 points for every minute you're late of your allotted time. And what makes it worse is the location of the camp is surrounded by lots of areas that are no-go areas, private land and that sort of thing. And as the light is dropping at the moment, it becomes very hard to see on the map what is the fastest way there. Now I remember the course designer, the name I forget, I think his name is Steve, forgive me if I'm wrong, if you're listening to this. He commented on the forum that if you want to go for the big points, he's going to make you work for it. My God,
hasn't he made us work for it? This disco grass is just beyond anything I've ever experienced, we've ever experienced. As I say, it's waist deep in places, tufts of grass, which is basically growing on a bog. And you either go down into the bog, you know, roll off the grass one way or the other. Rose and I have fallen over easily a couple of dozen times just in a 50 metre stretch, and it's taken us so long to get from point A to point B. And that's added to our demoralised state of mind.
That's why we're so late.
And so late, yeah. But to be fair, everybody else is obviously suffering the same thing, so they're either taking a easier but longer route on a semi-established path, or they're doing the same as we are. Quick word, Rose?
There aren't many paths, so that by the points, are there? There's not a lot to follow. You're going to have to do the disco grass at some point.
Yeah, I mean, everybody that we spoke to that we've met at a checkpoint has said the same thing. Goodness me, don't they make it work for 10 or 15 points? Anyway, as you can hear, the wind's picked up. It's a crosswind instead of a headwind, so that's not too bad. The waters on the lake has got showing some white horses, and we're on a downhill stretch, so I'm not going to waste any more time chatting. We've got some minutes to catch up, so we'll pick up perhaps when we get back to the campsite. And wish us luck, really. You join us as we make the final descent to the campsite.
Hooray!
Over an hour late, so it will be some serious penalty points. Quite disheartened, really exhausted, absolutely shattered. Are you right?
Yeah. So the body's certainly had a good old long workout, if nothing else.
Indeed. Oh, hang on. Post the camera. Hi there. But I'm really looking forward to getting the tent up, getting a hot meal inside us.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely doing that. Stuffing.
Yes, stopping the pain. Making the nasty pain go away, Rosie. Oh, anyway, so I'm going to knock it off for a bit. God knows what's going to happen tonight. Absolutely shattered, so there may not be any more. But I might get a second wind once I get some food inside us. But everybody is cantering down to the last checkpoint. So I'll catch you later. Oh, field of tents. Luxury.
And so we ran the last few soggy kilometres, fairly demoralised, down into camp, to be just over an hour late. Sadly, due to exhaustion, the recording we made that evening failed to be captured, which was a great shame, as the atmosphere of the rain beating down, the gas hissing, and the general activity and hubbub of the camp is hard to describe. Of course, being over an hour late meant we had virtually lost all of the points we had gained that day. In fact, we would have done better if we had just walked straight from the start to the finishing point. However, it's one of those things. An event like this is all about decisions under pressure. We chose a route to get higher points, and only when the going got so tough underfoot did we realise just how much ground we had to cover to get down to the campsite. As they say, experience is what you get when you don't get what you want. Although it was a wet and windy night, we slept fairly well, and by the morning we felt inspired to give it our best shot once again and try and save some face, embarrassing as it was.
You're listening to theoutdoorstation.co.uk.
Well, we're halfway at the first climb on the second day, having just waded across a river, which, as usual, because Rose is a short ass, a bit deep for you, love.
I know, it's just over my knees. And when I lost balance, I was glad you held my hand. I didn't want to get really wet this morning.
On the start line, you usually have two teams. And the team, obviously, that we saw today was 1626. They're 1625. We saw yesterday. And we obviously asked how they got on. And it just goes to show how things happen. They said they got a total of, what, 40 points? 40 points.
And came in late.
And came in late. They struggled terribly with what was underfoot. And we had 150 and came in late and got less than them. So
just the way it goes. Show.
So we're plodding up to the first climb. The weather's slightly brighter, blue skies, bit of a breeze.
Good breeze.
It's a typical autumnal day, really.
Fantastic views.
The wind's brisk, but not too painful. So we'll plod on. So many points we can pick up today, and try not to come in late.
We'll try, definitely not to come in late.
You're the one holding the watch. My watch strap's broke.
Yeah.
We didn't really get much chance to record any more before we made it down to the finish. And to be honest, we were exhausted. We've had a heck of a couple of days. The rest of the afternoon or the rest of the morning wasn't too bad. The weather wasn't too unpleasant. The going underfoot was the most important part, and that was considerably better than the previous day. Although I have to say, I think Rose and I were both suffering from just the twists and the turns from the previous day were coming out on day two, and it just seemed like really hard work on the ankles and on the knees, making it up through the tufts to the checkpoints.
Yeah, the first couple we did fine. We got on no problem at all, really, though, didn't we? And it was just then looking for that, was it third checkpoint? Seem to get temporarily misplaced.
Well, there's a story to that, and I, you know, it's one that reminds you you build your experience from. Really, I seemed to hit, well, as they say in the marathon world, I sort of hit the wall. I wasn't hydrating enough. I certainly wasn't really eating very much, and for some reason, my map reading skills just depleted for an hour or so. We completely overshot where the checkpoints were, and it was only when another competitor pointed it out to us that we actually weren't where we thought we were. But I was just trying to make the surroundings fit the map, not the other way around. And I just wouldn't believe the fact that we weren't in the right place. But after a few drinks of water and sit down and a bar of chocolate and whatever else, we managed to pick up. But at that stage, we had, about an hour to get back, did we? Less than
that? It was about an hour, I guess. And we managed to pick up a couple of points. It was a long, steady climb. But once we got to the ridge...
Yeah, I sort of got the second wind, really. Yeah. We started that climb and I just felt really, really shattered. But obviously, the sugars kicked in. And the painkillers, yeah. And we got to the ridge and right bang on a checkpoint, which was more by luck than judgment. And then from that point onwards, we had something like a 5-6K downhill run, didn't we?
Yeah, cracking run, actually. We got a second wind and we went for it. We were determined not to lose any more points and be late.
And sure enough, we arrived 2 minutes inside schedule. But the ending was a real... one to stretch your patience. We had this long drop for, as I say, best part of 5K, and then as we came out of that, we were looking for the final checkpoint, the finishing, as it were, and you had to go down through some trees, so we thought, okay, it will be the end of the trees. Then you had to go through a farmyard. We thought, well, it's bound to be at the end of the farmyard. Then you had to come out to the other side of the farm and go for another 300-400 metres before you finally got to the actual official checkpoint, and I must admit, I was done in.
Yeah, well, I'd sort of geared myself to the farm and then realised we've got another 300 metres. It was quite something, so I was really glad to put the dibber in the final one and go, that's it. Where's the free tea and, tea and squash, please, and the bus?
So that's the reason we didn't record anymore, as I say. There was a bit of an emotional roller coaster going on, frustration and disappointment on my part. But we finished making, I think, about 105 points for the day, which plus the other 23, whatever, for the previous day. So it was a respectable finish. It was a respectable finish, but disappointing for the previous day. But thankfully, talking to a lot of the other competitors, they also felt that the going underfoot on day one was just very, very hard going. And a lot of people like us fell down holes and disappeared into that grass and into bogs and goodness knows what else. But on the whole, I think reflecting on the event, I think it was... really, really tough, but now we're sitting here afterwards. I quite enjoyed it.
Well, it's tough, but you just feel you've done a good workout, really, don't you? I mean, you know, you're on the go yesterday for, 6 hours. I was thinking I said to you, it's much more enjoyable, I think, than doing something like a marathon, just because it's using your brain, it's different terrain, you're thinking about things, you've got to be prepared. Then you've obviously got your overnight and all the issues of, you've got enough equipment, you've got everything with you, having your food, sorting yourself out, getting yourself up in the mornings and off again the same day, next day.
There's a lot that can impact on something else, certainly a good night's sleep and food and, as you say, being hydrating correctly and so on as we're going along. The one thing which I think affected me most of all on day one, apart from the hard going, was the fact that my watch strap broke. So I didn't have a watch on my wrist for the duration, and that really threw me for the amount of time we had left and the decisions that needed to be made.
Yeah, I think that really actually had quite an impact on our first day and didn't help with us being late, because although I kept saying we had this much time, because you weren't visually seeing the time on a watch clock face, I don't think it was quite so obvious. But the actual event I thought was really well organised as ever, and you know, instant results this time, which they didn't have before, and they had what were they saying about the technicalities?
They were doing live streaming, so the finish was being streamed live into the finish area, and also via satellite or whatever, because I saw a couple of satellite dishes. It was also live streaming on the net as well. So from the technology that's been involved has increased enormously. And certainly you just placed your dibber into the electronic tab that you have. It's like a little USB chip. You place that into the finish machine in the download area, and you get like a little pay slip that comes out like out of a little cash machine. And that gives you all the points, everything you've done, and actually where you are as well, which in our case I'm not going to repeat. So I think what we'll do, we'll talk about gear and stuff, but I'm tempted to do a little video actually about gear, because I think it'd be quite interesting to see it and see if people find that interesting rather than doing an audio. But if we don't get around to doing the video, we'll do an audio. But it'd be quite interesting to see how it all fitted together, because I was using unusual combination of gear, and Rose was doing the same as well and trying out some new things, as we always do, with, on the whole, pretty good results.
So, and now, a bath and a glass of wine.
Oh, a bath, hot bath, soap, luxury. Glass of wine, yes, and a slap-up meal. So thanks, everybody, for listening. I hope we've made it as entertaining as we can. And thanks to everybody who we interviewed. We hope you find it enjoyable. And, we'll catch you next time.
If you have any feedback, questions or suggestions, why not drop us a line either on Facebook or directly to our email address, info@theoutdoorstation.co.uk.
The home of UK-based audio and video podcasts. For outdoors people everywhere.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To hear more from our extensive free library, please visit the website at theoutdoorstation.co.uk.
You can now follow The Outdoor Station on Facebook, where we chat about each programme we produce, answer questions and discuss future productions. Why not join us there?
This podcast is produced and hosted by theoutdoorstation.co.uk.